हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. In our little Smaranam session, we will talk basically on the chapter 2, Remembrance of Lord Krishna, and chapter 2 of the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we will hear of Uddhava remembering Krishna. Before we start, I want to say that afterwards we have a special musical surprise here. A great surprise. And the one who is there, I think, will know it. If some preparations need to be done, please do them now. Srila Ramanujacharya actually describes how the memory of Krishna or remembrance of Krishna of a devotee goes from the faith of thin to the faith of thick. Maybe you all have experienced in your own life how at certain occasions you can remember Krishna. For instance, when you are in misery, one feels sick or maybe disheartened, then one calls out to Krishna, please help me. But maybe you have become frustrated in your own lives when you saw how you could not remember Krishna in important times in your own Krishna conscious development. So Srila Ramanujacharya is describing a little bit about the psychology of remembering or remembrance. He says it starts to it can really start if one does it and one is aware of it, and then it is thin, but as one continues it becomes steady, then it comes to the stage of uninterrupted, and then to the stage of strong. I think this is easy to understand if we can keep the example Ramanujacharya gives in our mind before our eyes. It's like a river who starts very thin, becomes stronger, then picks up the strength and is very strong. So a devotee needs to start somewhere, and it will of course be very thin. We start in our movement with chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and we try to fix as long as possible on the sound vibration of the holy name, which is not different from Krishna. Then the memory becomes stronger, we will remember what we have heard about Krishna, and later it will be possible to remember this Leela, which is actually the desired goal of a devotee in Krishna consciousness. Leela Smaranam, or remembering the pastimes of the Lord. That's why Krishna book was written by our beloved Srila Prabhupada, as to facilitate the memory. We even hear that at advanced stages of Krishna consciousness, when a devotee starts to chant, the Leela of the Lord appears in his mind. So let us now hear a little bit from a practical example of Smaranam, Leela Smaranam, by quoting the experience of Uddhava. We are always encouraged in the movement for Krishna consciousness to follow examples of footsteps of great souls. So let us hear how Uddhava is practicing this. It is said that once Uddhava met Vidura, and Vidura, knowing that Uddhava had so much association with Krishna, asked him, how was Krishna? Tell us something. Now when Uddhava heard this request, he couldn't speak at first, remembering the wonderful qualities of the Lord. See, Uddhava, even when he was only 5 years old, was always so absorbed in the service of Lord Krishna that when his mother called him to take morning breakfast, Uddhava said, no, I'm sorry, I'm engaged. He did service to Krishna. deity service. And when he was together with Krishna, personal service. And now, because he started in childhood, when he was old, he could never, ever stop in his service to Krishna. And this described that when Uddhava remembered Krishna, everything came into mind. It was just thick, huh? So, in the beginning, it is said, so when he was asked to speak about Krishna, just please listen, this is so endearing. For a moment, he remained dead silent. And his body did not move. He became absorbed in the nectar of remembering the Lord's lotus feet in devotional ecstasy. And he appeared to be going increasingly deeper into that ecstasy. When a devotee starts to think of Krishna, he naturally, he starts remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. He starts down. It's also when you go before the deity and envision the deity, the first should be looked to the lotus feet. That's a sign of humility and a sign of culture that you do in darshan and in remembering the Lord. As you know, Krishna has on his lotus feet very beautiful impressions, which all have a deep meaning for the devotee who meditates about them. For instance, there's a staff which is used in controlling elephants. So the devotee prays to the staff on the lotus feet of the Lord, "May you control my mad elephant-like mind," with this staff. There's also a conch shell on the lotus feet. This means, after we have offered the flame to Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan, we offer the water. Why? It has a meaning. After the flames of material existence, the sangsara davana, the fire of repeated birth of death, meditating about the lotus feet of the Lord is, or the conch shell which holds the water, extinguishes the fire of repeated birth and death. There's meaning to this. So, by meditating about the lotus feet of the Lord, Prabhupada promises us that all the dirty things within the heart will go, because each one of the signs of the lotus feet has such tremendous potency, controlling the mind, the flesh, means to pierce through the thick layers of material contaminations which surround the heart, like the flesh goes in the mountain, and lets it explode. So we hope that by meditating about Krishna, our thick contaminations are destroyed. So, okay, he went deeper and deeper into ecstasy, and then it goes on. It was so observed by Vidura that Uddhava had all the transcendental bodily changes due to total ecstasy, just by remembering Krishna. Huh? And he was trying to wipe away tears of separation from his eyes. Thus Vidura could understand that Uddhava had completely assimilated extensive love for the Lord. This is Sneha Prasada. Sneha is one aspect of bhava, of love for Krishna. Yes. Then he came back to his external consciousness. He wiped his eyes. And then Uddhava began to speak. Uddhava uvacha, Krishna dyumani nim loche gyaneshvad jagare naha kinnuna kushalam bruyam gata shri shugriheshvaham. Sri Uddhava said, "My dear Vidura, the son of the world, Lord Krishna, has said, and our house has now been swallowed by the great snake of time. What can I say to you about our welfare? So Uddhava was struck by the great pains of separation from the Lord. And when Vidura said, how are you? How is it going? I'm sure that Prabhu tomorrow and today in the Arati greeted devotees. How is it going, Prabhu? Uddhava, he couldn't say, I mean, why are you asking how is it going? Krishna has just left the planet. It's like the sun of the universe is no longer here. I mean, it's not going good. This universe with all its planets is most unfortunate. And even more unfortunate are the members of the Yadu dynasty, because they could not identify Lord Hari as the personality of Godhead any more than the fish could identify the moon. Uddhava is lamenting the associates of Lord Krishna had not seen that he is the supreme personality of Godhead, and gives the story of the fishes who were swimming in the lake and saw the reflection of the moon within the lake. So they asked the moon, may we ask to what species of fish do you belong? Of course the moon is not one of them, not a fish like they are. In the same way, he says, the Yadus thought Krishna is one of them, Medyutam, but this is not a fact. He is the supreme personality of Godhead, transcendental like the moon, who never comes in the water to swim around like a fish and have the same situation as a fish. So it's interesting to note, actually we will go a little bit further. The Yadus were all experienced devotees, Uddhava says, learned and expert in psychic study. Over and above this, they were always with the Lord in all kinds of relaxations. And still, they were only able to know him as the one supreme who dwells everywhere. That is, the Paramatma, the Super Soul. They didn't know that he is the... it goes on. Under no circumstances can the words of... So they only had the Paramatma vision, which is not, which is the second level of realizing God. They could not understand him as the Lord of Vrindavan, the Lord of Rasas, of unlimited transcendental mellows in the exchange of devotees. They just thought he is a powerful, but not, they couldn't understand more. Bahnhof. Devasya Mayaya Sprishta Jechanyat Asad Ashrita. He says, under no circumstances can the words of persons bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord deviate the intelligence of those who are completely surrendered souls. In other words, he says, okay, the Yadus did not understand, but the surrendered souls, on the highest level of Krishna consciousness, they understand. And then he speaks about the most distressing point in the life of a devotee. See, Uddhava is lamenting that the Lord was absent, and now he just bursts out. Now he tells it. If a pure devotee would hear this, he would break down. Let us see how we go. Lord Shri Krishna, who manifested his eternal form before the vision of all on the earth, performed his disappearance by removing his form from the sight of those who were unable to see him as he is, due to not executing required penances. This is also what we have heard in the Bhagavad Gita from Krishna. He says, those who are attached to material life, material pleasures, those who are attached to sense gratification and are bewildered by this. Bhogaishvaya prasaktanam, material sense gratification and wealth, they can never have the firm determination to serve the Lord. So the pure devotees under the shelter of the internal energy can remember Krishna and know him as he is, but those who are bewildered, who are a little bit proud, Yadus, it is said they were proud on their opulences and on having the Lord in their midst as a family member, and they cannot understand. So we will hear one more verse and then go to the, and then Uddhava will start his Lila Smaranam, specific pastimes of the Lord. The Lord appeared in this mortal world by his internal potency, Yoga Maya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes were wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord himself in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus his transcendental body is the ornament of all ornaments. One of these examples which I want to close with is Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, when he saw how Krishna ate prasadam with his cowherd boyfriends in Vrindavan, was totally shocked. He had been disturbed by sounds which came from the earth. These sounds were made, sounds which came from his planets, which surrounded his planet. And then, when he was totally disturbed, he said, "What's the matter? Why is so much music going on?" And the demigod said, "Don't you know? The Supreme Lord is on the earth, and he has killed Agasura demon. And the Agasura demon, the soul came out of the snake body and then merged in the body of the Lord. That's why we are making music now." It's a good cause to make music. "What?" said Brahma. "You think this coward boy is God?" He was very proud of his own opulence. And he came down to he came a little bit later. He arrived at the earth. Then already some time was gone. And he looked from up how Krishna was eating food with the cowherd boys. But they didn't eat, from one plate, very cultured. But sometimes a cowherd boy came and said to Krishna, "Close your mouth, I will put something in your mouth now, and you have to tell me what prep it is." And they were eating, from the same plates, it was all over the prasadam. And Brahma said, "What? The Supreme Lord is Dharmapati, the father of Dharma. But it seems this boy cannot be the Supreme Lord because he doesn't even know how to eat properly. He's moochy. This cannot be the Lord." And we all know, he then stole away the cowherd boys, brought them in the cave, and to test Krishna what he would do. Now when he had done this, when he had stolen all the cowherd boys, he came back and he saw that actually all the cowherd boys were still there. Why? Krishna had expanded into cowherd boys. At that moment he thought, "Maybe I need a little rest. This is too much. I'm too bewildered here." And he went back to his planet, and at the door of his planet stood a guard, his own guard, and he said, go away, quick. "What? I want to go on my planet and you chase me away? Brahma is already there. You are that imposter Krishna. Brahma told me I should watch here, and a second Brahma who would look just like Brahma would come, and that would be Krishna in actuality. I should chase him away. Just go. You are Krishna." And Brahma was, what's this? totally in Maya. Now, he was totally an illusion. So he was proud, and he could not recognize Krishna. That is what, but still it says in this verse, the pastimes of the Lord are even capturing the mind of this personality, which became obvious later. You know, he came back to Vrindavan to just look what was going on, and he saw actually that before his eyes all the cowherd boys transformed into Vishnus, and then he understood, oh, this is God, this is Vishnu, who has expanded himself into the stolen cowherd boys. And then his pride was broken, and he understood, yes, before the master of mystic, his little mystic power was nothing. And this is alluded to, or this is not alluded, this is described in this verse. So we will stop here and go a little bit further in our second reading. For now, we want to invite our Dandadrik Prabhu to come. So, Hare Krishna, I will do one more session, and I'm wondering, is Shivananda Prabhu in the audience? No? Kannst du mich hin und raus bitten? So we had just ended with the Leela of Lord Brahma explaining how it is virtually impossible for someone overcome by pride of on his own opulences to really recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we will go on now with the beautiful, with a nice remembrances of Uddhava about Lord Krishna. I will just jump over one verse here and go to where he starts. Why jump over one? Here's this verse starts already with the Leela. All the demigods from the upper, lower, and middle universal planetary systems assembled at the altar of the Rajasuya sacrifice performed by Maharaj Yudhishthira. After seeing the beautiful bodily features of Lord Krishna, they all contemplated that he was the ultimate dexterous creation of Brahma, the creator of human beings. There was only someone in the audience who didn't agree. That was Shishupal. When he heard the glorification of Krishna, he said, "What is this nonsense? You all say that Krishna is God, proving this by saying he lifted a hill. But you naive people, don't you know? This Govardhan hill was the only an apparent hill. It was eaten away by the termites." And just like you can have a hill, a big hill, which is just the shell, this oisle of a hill, and you can easily lift it. Krishna easily lifted that so-called hill, which was eaten away by the termites underneath. This is how strong your God is. Then, and about killing the Putana witch, what's so great about killing a woman? This is totally adharmic, against the rules and regulations. This Krishna should not be worshipped in the Rajasuya offering by all of you, where there are so many more people who are more qualified than Krishna. So this is about the Rajasuya sacrifice. Now we go into Vraj. Uddhava goes into Vraj. The damsels of Vraj, after pastimes of laughter, humor, and exchanges of glances, were anguished when Krishna left them. They used to follow him with their eyes, and thus they sat down with stunned intelligence and could not finish their household duties. It is described that when Krishna left the village of Vrindavan to go herd his cows in the forest, the inhabitants of Vrindavan used to follow him far out of the village. And Krishna had to personally tell them, "Now please, the activities in the village must go on. Remain and go back." And then with great persuasion they were able to turn back, but their minds had followed Krishna into the forest. In this way they were not able to any longer perform their household activities. Just like a mindless person cannot actually do anything, cannot even find the door to exit out of a room. In the same way, the damsels of Vrindavan, all of Vrindavan, they couldn't do anything during the day because their mind followed Krishna. The personality of Godhead, the all-compassionate controller of both the spiritual and material creations, is unborn. But when there is friction between his peaceful devotees and persons who are in the material modes of nature, he takes birth just like fire accompanied by the Mahatattva. This is a fact. 2 days ago, we met one of our older god brothers, Chakravarti Prabhu, who had told us an experience which happened in his own life. He was traveling back from India to Germany, and unfortunately, on the way, the bus broke down on which he was journeying. So the man who owned the bus told him he would be back in 1 day, but Chakravarti and his wife waited for 2 weeks in the cold Turkish mountains. It is a great suffering, and from this the word cold turkey has been formed. To be in the coldness of Turkey is the most miserable existence one can imagine. Needless to say more. Then one German-speaking Turkish man came and said, "Why don't you come in my warmly heated house? Stay there." They accepted this invitation and came, but after 3 days, the so-called altruistic motives of the Turkish man were revealed to be a pure cheating. He one day called Chakravarti and his wife into the house. Down there were 12 Turkish strong men, and they said, "Okay, the price is that we want to enjoy your wife, 12 at once. This means death." Chakravarti couldn't do anything. He had a knife, but he figured it's useless to fight with 12 lusty people who are prepared to kill. He said, "Well, why don't you, this is very shocking to hear, let me go with my wife in the room and I will psychologically prepare her." When they were in the room, they closed the door, they took 2 steel beds, put them next to each other or behind each other, so that they formed a strong barrier of the door. And when the man came after half an hour trying to enter, it was impossible. 2 beds were making it impossible. They screamed and they were drunken and they were ready for killing. But at 4 o'clock the noise came down and they just thought they were sleeping, so they somehow escaped out of the window and began to run and run. However, lust is the best guard. Lust is the greatest motivating force and the all devouring enemy of this world. So the man came chasing after them, 12 at once, and came closer, knowing the area very well. They just ran and ran, and they thought, they chanted the names of the Lord in utter desperation. And they're considering jumping from the cliffs into down to kill themselves before this evil act could take place. Just at that moment, it was 4 o'clock in the morning, a car came on the road. Chakravarti knew it was his only chance, and he tried to stop the car. And mysteriously, although the driver knew this was trouble, he stopped and he opened the back door, and Chakravarti and his wife jumped inside, chanting Krishna's name. But before they could jump, these people, just capturing them and wanting to, you know, they ripped the shoulder bag. They had the shoulder bag, and they somehow could struggle themselves in the car. And the car went. The people tried to hold it, but the car was stronger. The man was a court and Kurde. You know, the Kurds don't like the Turks, and the Turks don't like the Kurds. He had no altruistic motive either, but he just wanted to do something bad to the Turks, seeing that they wanted the Germans, or the two foreigners. So then something hit Chakravarti's head, and he was thinking, oh no, now I'm hurt. It was a very strong blow. He thought it was one stone, you know, but then it dropped down, and it was the visit card of his savior. He looked, and it was on the front cover of Sri Krishna driving Arjuna into victory. You know our Bhagavad Gita cover, what had happened in the struggle for life and death. One of the back sects snapped open, and people in their anger had taken the Gita and thrown it at their victims who had just escaped them. This is a practical modern illustration of this verse, which says again, the personality of Godhead, the all-compassionate controller of both the spiritual and material creations, see, he had apparently sent the court, is unborn. But when there is friction between his peaceful devotees and persons who are in the material modes of nature, this was passion and ignorance, he takes birth just like fire, accompanied by the Mahatattva. The devotees are personally protected, in other words, by the Lord. The Lord is ready to break his promise of being equal and balanced when it comes to his devotees. When he says, Samohang Sarvabhuteshu, I'm equal to all beings, that refers to his aspect of Paramatma, who Nityo Nityanam, since immortal times, has given what the people of this world need. That's the Paramatma. But he says, I'm not like a Kalpa Briksha tree who gives everything he is asked for when it comes to my devotee. I am prepared to subdue the enemy of my devotee. He is very active in his protection for the devotee. Uddhava continues, when I think of Lord Krishna, how he was born in the prison house of Vasudev, although he is unborn, how he went away from his father's protection to Braj and lived there incognito out of fear of the enemy, and how, although unlimitedly powerful, he fled from Mathura in fear. All these bewildering incidences give me distress. So he first thinks about how the Lord was born in the prison and carried by Vasudev to Vrindavan. He also meditates about one time how he left Mathura and went to Dwaraka, his own protective fort in the Bay of India. He cannot understand at this moment how the Lord, who is feared by fear personified, could do these activities of going away and fleeing. Lord Krishna, he continues, begged pardon from his parents for their, Krishna's and Balaram's, inability to serve their feet due to being away from home because of great fear of Kamsa. That was when Krishna and Balaram returned from Vrindavan to Mathura. They said, we couldn't be with you. This demon was so big. They had just killed, Kamsa had just been killed by Krishna. But Krishna said, we were afraid of Kamsa. Therefore, we hid away in the forest. He said, O mother, O father, please excuse us for this inability. All this behavior of the Lord gives me pain at heart. Who, after smelling the dust of his lotus feet even once, could ever forget it? Simply by expanding the leaves of his eyebrows, Krishna has given the death blow to those who are burdening the earth. Not just by raising his brows, the Krishna is so strong. Krishna could kill everyone. That's why Uddhava doesn't understand this humble behavior of the Lord. You have personally seen how the king of Chedi, Shishupal, achieved success in yoga practice, although he hated Lord Krishna. Even the actual yogis aspire after such. It's very merciful. Shishupala was such a demon that the first words he spoke was, Krishna, I hate you. You know how difficult it is to teach a child language, and usually he cannot say a complicated articulation of sounds which is necessary to form the word Krishna. They can mama, these are more passive sounds can be done, or pata or something, but Krishna requires already something they can't do. But Shishupala was such a hater. He was hating Krishna so much, and he was always offensive, but still Krishna killed him. When he killed him, gave him Sajuja Mukti, liberation from material existence. Uddhava says, if Krishna is so very, very kind to his enemies, how much he will love his devotees. Certainly others who were fighters on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified by the onslaught of Arjuna's arrows. And while seeing the lotus-like face of Krishna so pleasing to the eyes, they achieved the abode of the Lord. Sometimes people say, it's so cruel, the god of war, that's your Krishna. But no, anyone who was so fortunate to give up the body on the battlefield of Kurukshetra achieved the abode of the Lord. That's what it says here. Lord Shri Krishna, the Lord of all kinds of trees, and is independently supreme by achievement of all kinds of fortune. All kinds of trees. Karana Dakashai Vishnu, Garbha Dakashai Vishnu, Chira Dakashai Vishnu. Many kinds of, many types of trees. He is worshipped by the eternal maintenance of the creation, who offer him the paraphernalia of worship by touching the millions of helmets to his feet. Everyone bows down to Krishna. Therefore, O Vidura, does it not pain us, his servitors, when we remember that he, Lord Krishna, used to stand before King Ugrasena, who was sitting on the royal throne, and used to submit explanations before him, saying, O my Lord, please let it be known to you. This is one of the very bewitching and endearing qualities of the Lord, that he his gentle behavior before his so-called superiors, such as his father, grandfather, and elder brother. It is described when Nanda Maharaj asked the Krishna to bring the shoes. Krishna was struggling with the wooden shoes on his head to bring them to his father. Bringing it. Nanda said, "Bring me the shoes." Krishna was struggling. Bringing the shoes to his father. It's very moving for the devotees. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says how the Brahmana, who could not even read the Bhagavad Gita, was crying tears of ecstasy just by looking at the picture of Krishna driving the chariot for Arjuna. Very moving. "Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast." Srila Jiva Goswami describes that this verse is one of the verses for entering a spontaneous remembrance of Krishna. I want to close this little session and then hand over to then do a little bhajan and then hand over to our Shivananda Prabhu by telling you how this verse acted on a great devotee. Once Gadadha and Gadadha Pandit and Mukunda were going through Navadvip, when Mukunda asked Gadadha, "Do you want to see the greatest of all devotees?" "Yes," said Gadadha. "Come," said Mukunda, brought him before the house where they could see a man who had long black hair, oiled, who had the most charming of perfumes around him. This man was, around him, the floor was red because he chewed that slightly intoxicating pan and spit it after he had chewed it. It's red, the floor becomes stained. There was someone who had a jeweled mirror holding it before the man, who obviously enjoyed looking into the mirror. He was sitting in the most comfortable sitting arrangement, and servants were fanning him. "This," said Mukunda, "is the greatest of all devotees." "No," said Gadadha, "this is sense enjoyer. Not even Mick Jagger is like him." That was not what he said. Was making up. They walked on, and then, "No, no," said Mukunda, "I can show you. Let's go again, and I will show you. By what do you determine a devotee? The qualities of a devotee," he asked. Gadadha said, "Well, by his attachment to Krishna, but he is attached to sense enjoyment. How can you say such things?" So Mukunda went by and he began to chant this time, "Aho Baki Yang Stanaka Lakutam Jigam Sayapa Yayarat Yapjadvi Leve Gatim Dat Ruchitam Tatonyam Kangva Dayalum Sharanam Brajema." "Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast." See, this demon was liberated by the Lord, sucked her breast besmeared with poison to kill him. Putana was more than Dracula. She would live on the blood of young babies, not just men, but young babies. That was her sprite of Fanta. she was totally unqualified for Krishna consciousness, but just by following the path of the residents of Vrindavan, that is, to be so unconventional as to feed the Lord with the breast milk, she became totally liberated. But just by following activities of devotees, this much devotees are liked by the Supreme Lord. So when this this man's name was Pundarik Vidyanidhi, the greatest of devotees, Prem Nidhi, Lord Chaitanya called him, the ocean of love. When he heard this verse, everything changed. He began to cry out the names of the Lord, and he was, you know, violently, his body was shaking, all the comfortable sitting arrangements were splintered into pieces of wood, everything fell down, crushed. 10 men couldn't hold him, couldn't hold him, and it appeared as if Mother Ganga had personally appeared in the room, because tears of ecstasy were uncontrollably gushing forth from his eyes. Yes. Uddhava's verse. This is Uddhava's verse. So, Hare Krishna, we will end here. And if you are interested to continue reading this chapter, its text, we have just ended at text 23. And now you could start at text 24. It's Canto 3, Chapter 2. And, you know, it's more 10 more verses, and one can read them. And you can think yourself, read the purpose of Srila Prabhupada and understand the verse, and think yourself what remembrance you know from this. Sisi Gaur Nitai Ki Jai, Sisi Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Can we give the Madanga please to Kaivalya Pati Prabhu?